listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kurt G, and E Green.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Of course, E Green, man. Like you said, it's the interview series, and we have a major, major situation popping off right now. Brother, tell them who you are.
I am MCADE, Adrian Hines.
Oh, yeah. We need the applause right now, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm having a personal moment right now.
You don't know how much this gentleman back here loves Miami bass.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
I'm having a moment right now.
I told him I was tracking you down for a minute to get you. We here now.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
No doubt. So, sir, before we get started, any interview, anybody we do, we got a couple of questions before we get in heavy, and we'd like you to address those questions. All right?
Okay.
What are your personal top three MCs?
Yes, and we don't care if they're just people down the block from you, people you grew up personally with, as long as they're personal for you.
I got a top five.
Okay.
Well, give us three of the five.
I want to give y'all the whole five.
All right,
sir. He said, what are you talking about?
I say, Pop, Scarface.
Okay.
Biggie, Rakim, and Mace.
Oh
wow! That was a wild card.
That's
my wild card.
Okay,
right. No doubt. Yeah. And the second question, if you will, sir, what is the first piece of music that you bought with your own money?
Music I bought. Well, see, that's gonna be a problem because my dad had a record store since I was like 10 years old.
Okay. You had inside scoop.
Right. So I didn't buy music.
He didn't buy nothing. So what was the first piece of music you got up out of there?
But I would say the one that I really took to an album that I listened to like that was Me Against the World by Pac.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Classic.
No doubt.
Yeah, that was the best.
All right. No doubt.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you haven't heard, we have MCADE on the show.
Man, you gotta calm down, my man.
Yeah.
He excited back here.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about first, I'm gonna, I guess, the general questions. Is Wikipedia true? Wikipedia says the 1985 single Bass Rock Express is considered to be the start of Miami bass. Is that true?
The only start of Miami bass.
All right.
It didn't exist.
Okay. All right.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. And let's see. And they also says, obviously, Foresight Records was owned by your father?
Correct.
All right. And ADE stands for... what did that was? Adrian Does Everything.
Yeah, it was a little acronym like A is for Awesome, D is for Devastating, E is for Everlasting Things That I'm Creating. Put it plain and simple, Adrian Does Everything.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Okay, so right off the top, some people say that it started out west with Egyptian Lover in them, and then it came over to y'all.
No. That's not how it happened. Egyptian Lover, I guess they were doing what they were doing, their style of music or what have you. But the whole bass thing, actually, it wasn't emphasized. It was music that had heavy drums and stuff in it. Basically, for me, what inspired me really was... I would say like It's Yours, you know, and Mantronics,
okay.
You know, with their drop they had going on. It wasn't the bass that, you know, we took it to, but that was the heavy kick at the time that, you know, was really going on, especially when that "It's Your" that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then working in the record store, for me, the way that happened, I don't know if y'all want me to go into this, but the way that happened, my because we had a record before Bass Rock Express, it was called Beef Box.
Oh, okay.
That was, yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that one.
No, I never.
But yeah, that was with MC Chief, who I thought my man Irvin was, because his name is Irvin German.
Oh,
okay. And Green.
Right. So it threw me off there, but Irvin German and Sexy Lady and my pops, basically, you know, because I used to, he moved to Fort Lauderdale. That's where he had the record stores. I was living back in Liberty City in Miami with my moms, and I would come up during the summers. And then one summer I came up and we, you know, after closing up the record store, my pops was leaving the record store. And as a kid, I'm just in the car for the ride. You know what I'm saying? I'm like 12 going on 13 at the time. And as we're in the car, we're going, and then we wind up at a studio. It was actually Henry Stone Studio. That's where Betty Wright, Casey and the Sunshine Band, and all them recorded at.
Okay.
So it was a professional major studio, and it was the first time I ever walked in a studio. And so I got in. I'm a little mesmerized because I'm like, wow, this is a studio, you know? And then Sexy Lady was there with the engineer Frank Kinnears, who was producing the track, but she wasn't feeling the track. And she was like, but she knew me from the record store, because also predating that, my mom had a store in Overtown in Miami, and we had a jukebox. So always listening to all the hits, you know what I'm saying, all day long, because I could play them for free. You know, so like Michael Jackson, Off the Wall, and James Brown, and all that type stuff. So, you know, inundating information and not realizing how it was affecting me. But that was from the ages of 7 and up, you know. So going back to in the studio, she asked me when I came in, because they knew in the record store I was pretty gifted. You know what I'm saying? I was quick with the music, and I was the only kid working in there with the adults, but I was moving like the adults in the store, you know? So she, and then, you know, you ask kids what they think about music. So she asked me, she said, well, you know, Adrian, what you think about this song? What, you know, what you think about it? And I said, well, it's cool, but if it was me, you know, I'd do it a little different, you know, just give it a vibe, a beat or something, right? So she said, so she told the engineer, Frank Cornelius, she said, can you see what he talking about? And so Frank said, you know, oh, that kid don't know what he talking about. And then what she did, because she wasn't feeling the track, you know what I'm saying? And so she went, she rubbed up against my old boy, you know, like, you know how women do, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I want to, you know what I'm saying? And she was sexy lady. She was sexy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So my old boy, he like, not because of me, you dig what I'm saying? But because of her, he was like, Frank, can you, you know, you ain't got to erase that track. Why don't you just pull it to the side and, you know, basically placate the kid, you know? So we did that. And unfortunately, Frank, he gave me a blank slate, because he was trying to really show like this kid don't know what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like I'm a producer, I'm a professional, you know what I'm saying? Yada yada. So he was like, okay, hit the drum machine. All it was a beat. Boop, boop, boop. How you want it to go? Oh, okay, all right. So I just started beating on the desk. So he programmed that. Okay, here go the hi-hats. So we go through every sound. So he's like, how you want this? How you want that? So I'm just, you know, humming and saying the sounds and, you know what I'm saying, to the rhythms and the patterns. So he programming exactly my vibe, you dig? And I even had the melody in my head, ding, 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 you know, just stuff, you know? And we made that record. And we never heard that other record again. That record, when I got there, that record was complete that they had already did. Okay. But a few hours later, we had a whole new record. And we put that record out, smash hit, shut down every pressing plant in Miami. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what blew us up. That was our first record. That was the first record out of the entire South. Because the only records at that point was coming, you know, hip hop was coming out of New York, you know what I'm saying? And it was nothing else, you know, from Master P's to the Baby Dumb to nobody. You dig what I'm saying? And that was the first record. And then I went back home, back to Miami. And my pops, he didn't quite, because he was a businessman. He was just an entrepreneur. So he was selling so much of that new Sugar Hill and different records. And he felt like, oh, they just jibber jabbing. You know, anybody can do that. So he felt like it was so easy. And then we went in the studio and some magic happened, but nobody paid attention. You dig what I'm saying? They just thought it was just that easy. So he was making records while I was gone, but they were flopping. You understand? And then I came back and then it was like, one day I'm making a tape or an 8-track that I was making because we used to make, you know, those for people, for customers. And he said, he walked up while I was making it and he was like, you know, why don't you make a record? And I'm like, because I never had no admirations or, you know, nothing about making a record. That just wasn't, you know, I was just happy to be around him, you know. And so I said, okay. And then he was like, because they was looking for this record, it was like a Trans Europe Express record at the time. And it had this horn sound and nobody could find it, but only like one group of DJs here had it. And they didn't tell nobody where they got it from. And so many people came in the record store to get the record. And he's thinking, damn, I can't find this record nowhere. I don't know what it is. They won't tell me. So he was like, well, I'll just make it, you know? And, you know, because so many people wanted it. So he tells me, he said, well, let's make a record. And then he said, we need something like a train record, you know? And so we started, you know, so he started saying, yeah, like a train, like a, you know, express. And then we stopped coming up with the name. And then I'm looking at the stereo. And the stereo, you know, all I used to do is blow the speakers in the shop. So, because I used to always crank the bass. So, I was like, the only thing I could think of, I was like, bass, solid as a rock. And he was like, on the express, they can't be stopped. And that was Bass Rock Express. So, we put that together. And he was like, okay, I'm going to book the time. But that went in one ear and out the next. And it was like about 2-3 weeks later. I don't remember the time frame. But one morning we got up getting ready to go to the record store. And he was like, we're going in the studio tonight. And I'm like, come on. You know, dude, you ain't said nothing to me since that time. And I'm like, you know, I thought you was just talking. I don't know. But anyway, I'm kind of panicking. And I'm sitting there putting on my clothes, getting ready for the morning, putting on my shoes and everything. And then I had the TV on 33 and oh, so the song came on. Dun 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 dum dum dun 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 dum dum.
Green Acres.
Yeah.
Green Acres is the place to be.
Exactly. So when that came on, boom, light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, that's it. You know what I'm saying? I can use that. And, you know, one part, like my dad told me when he was telling me to make the record that I left out, he was like, just do the same thing you did the first time we went in the studio. Because it was just basically freestyling. It was just my vibe, you know? So I'm like, okay, now I got something to start from. That was the Green Acres. and I'll just go in the studio and was with another engineer now, Amos, and I'll just do the same thing, you know, because I didn't know how to program anything. It just, I know the vibe though. I know the beats. I know, you know, how the bass lines, because I knew all the music from the record store. And we went in, did that, and boom, there you be.
Wow.
Bass Rock Express. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. I got to say, I want to ask you, I mean, obviously, as big as that record is, and one of the things that you said as you're telling the story about the first, I'm a huge proponent of accuracy in history. And where a lot mm-hmm. of people in the South is getting a lot of credit, I often felt that Miami gets overlooked and underappreciated for their true, true contribution to hip-hop culture. So with that said, after you start making records, there's obviously labels on top of labels. Panadisc and Skywalker, and obviously your own thing, Foresight, and just a lot of labels that were just out of Miami blowing up heavy. Did you have any, was it a community with the other people and the other labels that were making music at the time?
Not really, because when I did Bass Rock Express, and like we did the first record, Beefbox, then I did Bass Rock Express, and it was like everybody was like, it was a fluke, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, first they didn't know I did Beefbox, you understand what I'm saying? Because I didn't even get the credit on there as producer, you dig? The engineer Frank, he got credit as the producer, because me nor my dad knew what even a producer was at the time, you know. So that just went under the rug. And so when I did Bass Rock Express, it was like, you know, what just happened? Because this smash hit record, and here this kid, this must be a joke or so, a fluke or something, you know. And then when I came back and then I did Bass Mechanic, and it just, you know, kicked the doors in. And then that's when everybody was like, whoa, this bass thing is real, you know. And then you had everybody started making bass, this bass, your mama, and, you know, everything bass, you know. And that's how that kicked off. And because by then I had moved up to Fort Lauderdale, and the other people that started jumping on it, you know, like Luke Dumb and everybody, they were down in the city, they were down in Miami. So we weren't necessarily, you know, clicked up like that, unless we, you know, met on tour, or like the first time that I did meet Luke, we met on tour, whatever. And he was, you know, because he used to play the records, you know what I'm saying? So he was a fan of my music, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how we met, you know.
Wow. So
I was going through his records, looking at him.
Yeah, well, I have a handful of things.
He's just going through a few of his records.
Yeah. One of the things I like to ask about is MC Shadi, Rap Will Never Die, Foresight Records. Mm-hmm. An incredible record. So I'm assuming at that point, your dad or yourself, you guys are in the record business heavy. You're putting joints out.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I got? I got probably about 6 copies of Bass Rock Express, no doubt. Gigolo Tony and mm-hmm. Lacey Lace, the parents of Roxanne. One of my favorite, during the Roxanne Wars, that's one of my favorite records of all of Roxanne records that came out. But the parents of Roxanne, that beat's crazy.
Yeah. That was Gigolo.
Yeah, that was crazy, obviously.
I mean, Shadi, what happened with him, basically the manager at the time was Vanice Lopez, and she went up to Atlanta to do a show. I think it was somewhere in Atlanta, Georgia, something. They did a show. She took Tony up there to do a show, and they met Shadi, and Shadi came up to her with a demo or something or what have you. and she brought him back, and you know, because he was a dope rapper, you know. And my dad he had those ideas about those themes and stuff, because he inspired that with the first record from Beefbox. It was went back to that commercial from Wendy's, Where's the Beef, you know. So he, you know, that was his thing. And then so he put the Pink Panther on with Shadi, you know, and that was Rap Would Never Die. And that's like Atlanta's what would you call that? You know, that would be for them, because of Shy and being from there. That's like their pillar, their anthem, as it should be. You know what I'm saying? Because he made that record, Rap Will Never Die, and rap has not died.
It ain't going to either. But I got a question for you that I typically ask folks, but it's going to be hard because you are an originator. So mm-hmm. when I ask you this, it's going to, I don't know what to expect from you, but mm-hmm. what influenced you? I mean, I know you had the record store and you probably had all kind of music. Into what influenced you to make bass music?
The stereo system. Because everything I played, I tried to get all the bass out. I used to always crank. It was just a knob on that thing that said bass and treble. And I knew I loved that bass knob, you know. So I used to always blow the speakers with whatever I played. You know what I'm saying? Because I just like that low end.
Okay.
And then I couldn't get enough. We wasn't getting that low end at that time like that. You know what I'm saying? It was like I said, we get a punchy kick, you know, from the records out of, you know, upstate. Like I said, It's Yours and Magnetronics had a muddy groove they had going on. But that sweet thing that we brought to the game, that hum and that bass and that rattle and roll, was something else. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I knew when it really had really clicked off, because, like, I remember Run DMC, they made, what was that?
Dumb Girl.
Yeah, and then they had that little beat, that outro beat or something on there, and they had Up Tempo. That's what it was. They had their record Up Tempo on that 12 inch or something, and it was like the whole thing clicked. Now, that wasn't New York vibe. You understand what I'm saying? Up Tempo was our vibe. You dig? But that's how I knew, because they was going around the country and stuff, so they was hearing music and they was hearing this, and you know, my music was everywhere, you dig? And so, and then I heard even the Dogs. It's even on Up Tempo. If you listen back to that, when you hear that up, the whole beat just switched up and started, you know, vibing. Yes. And then they got the Dogs in there and everything. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not a coincidence, okay?
No, but it goes back to my point. I mean, there's a lot of other places, specifically Atlanta, or who might want to take credit, or Houston, for whatever, out of the South. I start and stop at Miami, because once you get away from the Los Angeles and the New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm from mm-hmm. Philly. I still say probably Philly's third in the amount, but right mm-hmm. Miami. And you never
all day.
And you never hear that in history. It drives me nuts.
I know. Yeah, it is. It is quite frustrating, because that whole bass culture, because at that time, like I said, hip hop was just like that 909 kick, you know, and that was the Jeep beats and different things like that. It wasn't about bass, you know what I'm saying? That wasn't a thing, you know, because it was about the beats and rhymes, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't about that low end coming in to songs like that. So they, you know, I remember even when I off of Bass Rock Express and doing, you know, going to different states and touring and doing shows, and the people would ask me, well, what's bass? What's the Bass Rock Express? It was so foreign, you dig what I'm saying, that it was like, you know, it was so new that the people that just didn't understand what was going on or what it was about, you know. And then I would break it down and explain to them, you know, this is base, what you know base is, you know, and it's like, it's just emphasizing on it. And and till this day, like, you know, the South won out in that, you know, because all the music, you know, now it's got to have that in it. You know what I'm saying? So whatever music they're making now, it's got low end in it. They tricking it up, making it sound different ways or whatever, but it's bass in it.
But I'm a historian, and I want the credit to go to people who created that. Yeah, it mm-hmm. could be Migos, it could be anybody. Whatever they making is whatever they making. But what they eating off of is created and manufactured and started out of that Miami Dade area, and the people, including yourself. So that's just me. That's what I'm saying. It's a moment for me to number one, to have you on the show, to meet you, as much as I was playing Bass Rock Express, just like any other DJ out of the country. You know what I mean? Thank you. I want to just say thank you for your contribution to hip hop, because it's a mighty one.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's funny, because when I went to New York to do a show one time, it's back in, what's that? I think it was like 91. And I went to do a show up there, and that was the show. It was kind of an infamous show, because it was Leaders of the New School, Paper Doll dude. What his name? PM Dawn. And Ed Love and Dre, they were there. And I was, it was a couple things happened. When I got ready to get introduced to come on stage, because it was hardcore hip hop night, they didn't know I was from Miami, okay? And on top of that, I was in the top five countdown on BLS. I had a song up there playing, you know? And they didn't know, you know, where I was from, because I did a little flip of this song called All Out Bash, but like a hip hop version, but it was hot on the station. And I remember I was up there doing the interview, and Stethasonic, they was doing the interview too. So while I'm out in the lobby waiting to go on, the bed that they were playing on the radio was from my first record, Bass Rock Express. So they on BLS, they had been using Bass Rock Express bed for, I forget what it was, but you could tell it was a normal thing that was going on. So that kind of tripped me out, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, we was doing that show, and when I went on, getting ready to go on stage, D Nice, he was introducing me, and he did a little sucker move, because he was like, MCADE from Florida. And the crowd, you know what I'm saying? They like boo, and, you know, went to acting crazy. And it pissed me off, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, y'all don't know me. And dude, you ain't had to do that like that. But no problem. So I went on stage, and I'm like, look, y'all like it how y'all like it. And I'm from the bottom. And in the bottom, we like that drop and ba da 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 da. And tonight, I'm going to show y'all how we do it. DJ, and we kicked it, rocked it. You understand what I'm saying? And I saw KRS-One backstage, you know, and I was like, yeah, nice to meet you, this and that. And then what turns out, because he wasn't supposed to be performing that night, but what happened, PM Dawn was performing. Then it was the stage was like, it was a concrete stage. And it was a big stage, though. And PM Dawn is like at the front of the stage. And he's, you know, in that big dashiki he used to be wearing. And Paper Doll, you know. And you had about 50 dudes, right, start walking on the stage. And as they came past the DJ, they like just swarmed the DJ so much you couldn't see him. But they was playing tracks up in the booth. So the DJ was just fronting, right? So all you see is the DJ records going up in the air, and they just totally covered him. Then the next thing you see him just spread over, and his girls, the three girls he used to have, just cups, you know, surrounded them, whatever. They disappeared from the stage. I don't know, they pushed them off the stage or what. So all these dudes are just standing on the stage like the Malcolm X movie. You understand what I'm saying? When Malcolm X was standing out in front of the police station. And they just standing on the stage, and Chris, he's standing there, and he had the little henchman of his who was his sidekick with him all the time and stuff. And so PM Don is still performing. He has no clue what's going on. The crowd is like, they stuck, because they like, what the heck? What is going on? PM Don is the only person in the building that's oblivious to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And he's performing. Right, he's steady performing. He think he got him locked. You understand what I'm saying? Cause he like, oh,
wow.
So what happens now? You gotta think about it. This is like every time is moving slowly right now. You understand what I'm saying? And the only person, like I said, don't know what's going on is PM Don. So he's performing. You understand, baby doll? And then dude walks up, and while PM Don has the mic. And he grabs the mic from this side, like, right? So when he grabbed the mic, and it's like a robbery, you know, and somebody's gonna get up, and then you buck, and they shoot you. Well, same thing happened. He grabbed the mic, and reflexes is like pulling back the mic. So when he pulled back the mic, dude just swung on him. Bam! Bam! And PM Don just went down in that dress like that and fell to the ground.
He turned from a dashiki to a dress.
and then he just started kicking the man, and he just kicked him, and he kicked him off the stage. The stage was higher than me, and he just kicked him, and he rolled off the stage, hit the ground. The dude went back and gave the mic to Chris, and Chris... No One Test Boogie Down Production. Clark Kent kick the beat. The South Bronx. The South Bronx.
Wow.
That's incredible.
First-hand experience.
That is
incredible.
Yeah. And when PM Dawn got up, he had on a miniskirt.
Yeah. Damn. That was next.
Wow. That's what's up.
Damn. Yeah. Welcome to New York.
Yeah.
That was amazing. An amazing firsthand experience story right there, brother. Man.
Yeah, I've heard people tell it.
Right.
I was there. You understand what I'm saying? And this is not even fabrication. PM Don glasses, when he got up, was tilted to the side. His shade was... because the crowd, I'm going to tell you, was so dirty. It was the most exciting... I've toured in Brazil and different things, and I've done soccer stadiums where they only came to see me. You understand? And yes, where sir. We couldn't even get in because I had to have armies of people around me, and the crowd move you like paper because it's so many people. But that happened that night, the energy was different. You understand what I'm saying? Something like that happens. It was crazy because I never felt that kind of energy. It was like the people were so blown away with what happened. And then he came and started rocking it. So I was perplexed because I didn't like what happened to PM Don. You dig what I'm saying? But I thought it was the dopest thing I ever seen. You understand what I'm saying? At the same time, you know, because the crowd, when PM Don rolled off the stage, they just moved back and let him hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, and it was a nice fall. man, that hurt me. But like I said, it was so dope. I was perplexed. It was definitely something. It was something, you know. But to think about it, you know, because Chris preached that other stuff. You dig what I'm saying? And then they did mm-hmm. that man like that. on a humbug because he said something in the magazine back then. He said, BDP is not only the only kind of hip hop. That's all he said.
Right, right.
You understand? Which was facts. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was facts. You know, and it's like right. they took it like some kind of stupid diss or something, and the man wasn't dissing you. He was just saying, that's not, I do different kind of hip hop. That's all.
That was a different Chris back then.
Yeah.
Well, for the sake of time, I appreciate that. For sure, everybody is going to appreciate that. But let me ask you this question. Do you feel like you've gotten your just dessert, your just respect and everything for what you've done?
I'm thankful. I really, because, you know, I know a lot of people and they want to do things and keep doing things, because I really had pulled away from music. The only reason I had got back to music is because my daughter, she came to me and she was like, you know, she wanted to do music. And I know, you know, and I was like, are you tripping? But I know her growing up with, you know, her dad being this person and yada, 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 that, I couldn't rob her of that or take that from her. And she had that taste in her mouth. So, you know, I had to do the studio thing and records with her and, you know, that thing, because I know it's wolves out there. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't going to turn her to that. So, you know, I, you know, worked with her with that. But far as for me, you know, it's the craziest thing. As many hits as I have, records I've done, to think about it, that was never an admiration of mine to make one record. You know what I'm saying? So when, you know, people ask me that, it's like, I'm just thankful for what happened. I didn't even want to make one. You know what I'm saying? It just... The Father blessed me where I just had that talent. You dig what I'm saying? To do it. You know, I was just gifted with that. Yeah.
That's,
you know?
Awesome.
We thank you for the gift.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up. That's what's
yes,
up.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Like real talk, man. This dude right here, he's giddy as a motherfucking little kid at Christmas right now. I mean, because, you know, when we were young, we were there, you know, from Pennsylvania, so we were like in the middle of all the shit, but we got it all, and yo, you definitely got represented at the parties that we were.
Yes,
doing,
sir.
You know what I'm saying?
We could end the night off without playing that Bass Mechanic or Bass Rock Express. Goodness. It wasn't happening.
Oh man, I hear in Detroit, like the train was there, like national anthem or something. It's. Man, I really appreciate it, you know. And those vibes and those tunes, they're just my vibe, my feelings, you know what I'm saying? It's yeah, so I you know, like I say, I never thought about it. It's crazy because people have asked me before, they say, you know, what did you, you know, want to be or aspire to be? It's crazy. I used to watch the Godfather movies. I thought I could be a hitman.
Wow.
Real
talk. Ninja assassin.
Because I felt like, you know what I'm saying, dudes who, you know, if you took some money or you borrowed some money or you did something and you didn't pay it back or you didn't, you know what I'm saying, then you got what was coming to you. You know, growing up in the projects in the city, and the poking beans and different things like that will... You know, your brain, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was definitely a wild situation, you know. I remember when I went to Fort Lauderdale, the first time I was, like, hanging around and I went to the malls and stuff, how crazy my brain was and how it's so important for brothers to get out of the hoods and different places and travel. Travel will expand the mind. Travel is the best thing we can do. Because when I went to the mall and I'm hanging out with the brothers up there, and you know, you got the white people in the mall, you know, with the black folks, everybody, and I'm talking to the dudes, I'm like, yo, y'all just let them walk around like that? That's how crazy that's how crazy the brain was. Real talk. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's how savage the mind was. Yeah.
So do we got to give Kodak Black a break?
Yeah, real talk. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the environment. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, it's like that. And that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's savage. But that's how I was thinking. That's my literal thought.
Damn.
You know? And that's what I asked him. I'm like, yo, y'all ain't trying to do something to him or something. You know?
We know they got money. We try to rob
them. Exactly. You know, rob them, hurt them, do something. You know what I'm saying?
Because black
folks didn't come through. Yeah, black folks didn't. I mean, white folks didn't come through my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I remember one white dude one time came from the hospital downtown Jackson, but some kind of way he must have been have money, so he must have was walking the whole way, and then he was coming through the hood. He was already bandaged up, had his head wrapped up and everything, and by the time he left the hood, man, he could have went straight to the morgue for real, because it just wasn't a thing. Even when we had the riots, you know, like the McDuffie riots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I was in them. And it was we had like two or three white teachers at the school. They had to call a whole school together. You understand, into the auditoriums to talk to us. So we would deal with these teachers appropriately. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's how wild it was. You know what I'm saying? The mentalities were just not, you know, not right.
Mm. Well, that sounds like much has changed from then to now, brother.
In
some situations, it's just still kind of crazy out in some of these spots. I'm out here in LA right now, so I see it turning back into what it was a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's getting kind of hectic again out here. Well, where can people find you? Like, you know, I mean, you ain't hard to find, but where can people find you?
They can on Facebook, MCADE Bass Mechanic, Twitter, creator of Miami Bass, something like that.
Anything you're working on now? You working on anything right now?
Well, the only thing, I was doing some stuff, you know, I had a record, Gotta Have Goals, you know, but COVID had came, and it's because we needed to do a video and yada, yada, yada. So it kind of slowed everything up. So only thing I'm doing now is just, you know, doing my crypto and, you know, you know what I'm saying? People, don't sleep on the crypto. Don't let them talk you out the game. Don't let them talk you out the game, because that's what they'll do. But that's the future. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, as soon as things give us a little balance back, you know, I'll be doing some stuff. I'll definitely be doing some stuff with my daughter. And yeah, that's what's up.
But we're going to need to be a part, you know, we're going to need to hear, you know, be part of that.
yeah, most definitely.
Yes, sir. But we definitely appreciate you and your time that you gave us today. Thank you very much.
Sir. Yes, sir.
That's what's up, my brother. Appreciate the love, too, brothers.
Ain't no problem, bro. Anytime. Yes, sir. You're a legend.
Thank you,
man. Yes, sir. You're always welcome here.